This is CliffCentral.com.
Ariana Grande. She's so little. She's just the tiniest little human being.
She's small for a grande.
Yeah, I know.
Don't sound like that priest now.
When you order a grande, you expect something big. Yeah, she pitches up. You're like, what? I think I ordered something big. CliffCentral.com. It is just after 7 o'clock, Monday, the 28th of January. For those people who've been waiting for the end of January, take a big deep breath. You're gonna get some money in the account this week because Friday is the next month, February, before you even knew it. I know for a lot of people, though, it just does feel like January goes on forever and ever. It has felt like a long month. I won't lie.
I'm excited. My birthday this coming Sunday. Ooh. And it was
right. How young are you turning?
42.
No, come on.
24. But it was all good and well up until actually I was planning a little brunch for my actual birthday on Sunday with a friend of mine, and that friend has just gotten engaged over the weekend. Carly, you know her.
That's very exciting.
So no, it's not anymore because she now has to have a l'chaim on my day, and I don't want to be the bitter friend. But now I'm like,
So you're pissed off because you're not going to get all the attention.
You guys just had to one up me on my birthday.
You have a birthday every year.
No, well, I've decided to now move my brunch. No one's going to upstage me.
See, yeah, it's all of just. I promise you, you'll laugh about this one day. It's ridiculous. Birthdays will stop meaning that much to you eventually. Trust me.
I swear, y'all need. If anyone does anything on the 16th of Feb, I'll have to punch someone in the throat because I've had to like wait for out of Valentine's Day and away from this and away from that. And,
Valentine's Day's coming.
Doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter to us in this room.
No, I mean, nobody in this room really cares, but. There's always pressure on that day for everyone else, and then you feel it. You know, you feel like, maybe I should be doing something. And
The worst is... the worst is...
Are you okay?
Yes.
Getting emotional.
Choked up.
You need help?
The worst is if you as a couple agree not to celebrate Valentine's Day, and then one of you still buys something.
Yeah, because then you've broken the promise.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I don't relate.
All right. Well, there's loads of stuff to talk about today. So where shall we begin? Let's start with Prince Philip. He was all over the news last week and the week before because he had an accident, age 97. He was driving his Land Rover around Sandringham in Norfolk. And he apparently caused an accident, got out of the car and walked back home. And he's already got his new car. And people were saying, but you know, why should a 97-year-old drive? And was he driving recklessly? And maybe he even had drinks, and this woman who'd been the victim of the crash, she was complaining that she hadn't even received an apology. So what's happened? What's the latest?
Well, we discussed on Friday the fact that there is a reason why royals don't wear seatbelts.
Why?
And that's so that they can escape dangerous situations quickly without being tied down by a seatbelt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So worst excuse ever.
Okay, terrible.
And I've also since, just before we get back to Prince Philip, I've also since heard Meghan Markle was moaned at because she closed her own car door when she got out. Royals are not supposed to do that. You're supposed to leave the door open because if it closes and there's an automatic locking system, you can't get back in those first few seconds once you've entered a crowd.
Oh.
So that's why. It's not because you're lazy.
Okay.
So there are these interesting things that are coming up.
Little secrets.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about Prince Philip.
So Prince Philip has actually written a letter to Mrs. Fairweather.
That's the woman, that ugly woman who was complaining that he doesn't care about her.
She broke her wrist.
Okay.
But there's an actual letter and he's, you know, it's all typed out very nicely and he's scrawled at the top, "Dear Mrs. Fairweather." And signed it, "Yours sincerely, Philip."
Okay, so what does he say? Read it to me
says,
as it is. Go.
"I would like you to know how very sorry I am for my part in the accident at Babbingley Crossroads. I've been across that crossing many times, and I know very well the amount of traffic that uses that main road. It was a bright, sunny day, and about 3 in the afternoon. The sun was low over the wash. In other words, the sun was shining low over the main road. Mm-hmm. In normal conditions, I would have had no difficulty in seeing traffic coming from the Dershingham section or direction, but I can only imagine that I failed to see the car coming, and I'm very contrite about the consequences. I was somewhat shaken after the accident, but I was greatly relieved that none of you were seriously injured. As a crowd was beginning to gather, I was advised to return to Sandringham House by a local police officer. I have since learned that you suffered a broken arm. I am deeply sorry about this injury. I wish you a speedy recovery from a very distressing experience.
Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
So
I think it was very heartfelt.
Is she still cross?
I haven't heard of her reaction yet to the letter.
Well, she's published the letter. She put it out there. I mean, how else would we have known?
Oh, that's true.
So she must have put it out.
Well, I don't see anything about her reaction. But
she say, here's a letter from Philip. Isn't this nice? Or did she go, here's a letter from that bastard? Because then that'll give us a clue as to how she feels.
I don't know. She just seems like a real attention seeker in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the debate exists over whether Philip should be driving at 97.
Sure. Okay. I think it's a nice letter. Good.
Yeah,
for him.
I think so.
All right. Okay. I'll leave it. I think we've Philipped the hell out of this one. Let's mm-hmm. leave it alone. Apparently they found a guy who was missing in the woods, a little boy. He was 3 years old. He was missing in the woods for 2 days. Now, I've heard stories like this, but, you know, we forget how resilient human beings are. We always think human children are useless and that if they're not around their parents the whole time, they'll stick their fingers in a plug or they'll do something stupid. And that probably is true for a lot of kids. But it is amazing how a child of three could survive for 2 days in the woods.
In North Carolina in the winter.
In the winter and still be found and not be dead on the other side of it.
Yeah. So the little kid is Casey Hathaway.
Yeah.
He was playing outside his great-grandmother's house with two other children when he apparently wandered off into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of people, drones, helicopters, search dogs searched more than 1,000 acres for the boy but were unable to find him. The area then experienced freezing temperatures and heavy rain, and some began to fear the worst. Lisa Fraker, who had joined the search party, was back home, and she decided to take her dogs out for a walk. She had just stepped outside when she heard what she thought was crying.
Mm-hmm.
So she put the dogs back in the house and called an emergency responder. And yes, they found him. He was tangled up in a thorn bush, but he seemed to be absolutely fine. He was very cold, so they warmed him up inside the car. And the warmer he got, the better he got.
Yeah.
But he was a little cut up, a little bruised, but otherwise fine. His aunt wrote on Facebook that Casey is healthy, smiling, and talking. He says he hung out with a bear for 2 days.
Wow. Do you think he could have actually been with a bear?
Who knows?
Or it's not just cool to say that as a kid.
Oh.
Brianna Hathaway, the aunt, said God sent him a friend to keep him safe.
Okay.
What the Jungle Book is going on here? It sounds...
He hung out with a bear. That sounds very likely.
Yeah. What probably motivated that him to say that is that his one of his favorite things is the Russian cartoon Masha and the Bear.
Okay. Yes, my nephews watch that.
Oh, there you go.
It was on TV here the other day when your nephew was here. Masha and the Bear. It's a very popular kids program. How can you not know this, Sia?
Gareth,
what kind of an uncle are you?
This is my take on kids programming. It gives me 24 minutes, 48 minutes, an hour's minute to myself, and the kids are just preoccupied in that way. I don't care what it is. They could be talking about
Masha and the Bear's a big story.
Just as long as they aren't focused on me and I get to have a break.
That's typical of you. So apparently U2's Bono, I mean, this guy, every time he opens his mouth and he's not singing, he should really be taped up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
He went to Davos, which is already ironic, because why the hell should anyone at Davos, let alone the people outside of Davos, want to hear from Bono? Anyway, he said, capitalism is amoral and a wild beast. Now,
must be nice.
Bono is worth over $700 million. U2 charge fans up to $400 a gig.
$400.
Bono has a private jet. Bono has a $17 million 140-foot super yacht. Bono lives in a $7 million six-bedroom mansion.
And I would.
So, how can Bono have a problem with capitalism if he hasn't liquidated all of that and given it to the poor?
Yeah, I would even put my head on the chopping block and say that's just one of his homes.
You hypocrite. Exactly. I'm sure it's one of many.
Mm-hmm.
Bono, shut the fuck up.
I don't know why we all feel the need to speak out on things sometimes.
Because he's feeling guilty. That's all driven by guilt. I'm telling you now, the guy feels guilty about how great his life is. And now he goes on the TV and he goes to Davos and he goes out at his concerts and he complains about capitalism. You know what, Bono? We don't hear you over the sound of the money in your pockets.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Sit in your mansion, your estate. Just preoccupy yourself there.
Yeah, thank you.
Try.
Keep it quiet. Do you want to hear about this Trump shutdown? Does anybody really care about it? Because they've called an end to the shutdown, but it seems to me like Trump has caved. That's what it seems like. It seems like he's gone, okay, the wall thing, clearly I lost. I'm not making the kind of headway that I need to make here, so I'm going to just give in to Nancy and Chuck, Nancy Pelosi. Chuck
I can't Schiller. Imagine those exact words coming out of his mouth.
No, he'd never say that. But you tell me, here are the words that came out of his mouth. And here's Trump trying to turn this into a victory.
Listen. I am very proud to announce today that we have reached a deal to end the shutdown and reopen the federal government.
He did say a couple of days ago, there will be no deal unless there's a wall. Unless they give me some funding for the wall. Now it seems he's changed his tune, or am I wrong?
The federal government. As everyone knows, I have a very powerful alternative, but I didn't want to use it at this time.
Oh.
Hopefully it will be unnecessary.
He's talking about using the Army Corps of Engineers in an emergency presidential power to build the wall.
Okay.
Apparently he can do that.
I want to thank all of the incredible federal workers and their amazing families who have shown such extraordinary devotion in the face of this recent hardship. You are fantastic people. You are incredible patriots. Many of you have suffered far greater than anyone but your families would know or understand. And not only did you not complain, but in many cases, you encouraged me to keep going because you care so much about our country and about its border security. In a short while, I will sign a bill to open our government for 3 weeks until February 15th. I will make sure that all employees receive their back pay very quickly or as soon as possible.
All right, so he's got a 3-week stay of execution there in terms of the government shutdown. I don't know what to make of this. I wish I'd paid more attention. I wish I could explain it to you better, but you know what? You're going to have to find that info elsewhere.
Yeah,
it's
well,
not going to come from me.
I mean, the idea is that he's given up on it.
Okay. Given up on the border wall. No,
yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think that's
what
he's
given up completely, but he stepped back from it.
He's back from the precipice.
Done something that he doesn't usually do.
All right. Okay, well, there's Donald Trump just letting us in on the fact that he's reopening the government for 3 weeks. Don't know what that means. I'll try to do some research for you today. Come back with some answers.
Very nice.
If you care about the U.S. government shutdown, a lot of people not that interested. But I think it has an impact on the world's economy because, as we can see, and as Anthea said a little earlier in the money shot, the Asian markets have opened up a little bit higher than they were last week because people are excited about the shutdown being over. Obviously, it affects the way that the whole U.S. economy works, affects the way that citizens, particularly those employed in the civil service, in the government, whether or not they get paid or not, whether or not the government works, the Transport Safety Authority, the TSA, those kinds of things. That's probably where most people would have an interface with the government. You know, when you go through airports and they check you, that's one of the places. So this is another one, the economy at large. Let's see if we can pay attention to that. 19 after 7, cliffcentral.com. Good morning, Mum Jane. How are you?
I'm good. And you, Papaji?
Good. Are we registered for the elections?
Yes, we did. Even though we don't know what we're going to vote for.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. Mm. So Jane Malachi is here at cliffcentral.com. She runs our offices and makes sure everything's working. She makes sure everybody here is looked after. Mum Jane, I needed to ask you about something you told me the other day. You came in here with a pamphlet.
Yes.
And you were in Alex at the taxi rank.
Yes.
And who did you see there?
Nina Hasty.
Nina Hasty. Is that because she was trying to catch a taxi? What was going on?
Nina Hasty, she was giving people pamphlet to vote. Actually, I think she had by ANC people, because in the pamphlet I saw somebody that I know. That person is from ANC.
So you think that Nina Hasty is being paid to campaign for the ANC?
Yes.
We need to talk to her, Sia. Mm-hmm. We need to get her in here.
And she was not only celebrity that I saw there.
Who else?
It was like a lot of celebrity. Even this woman from the Queen. The crazy one that she's doing, the funny one. What's her name? I forgot her name, actually.
But she's an actress.
The short one from The Queen.
Yes, I see who you're talking about. Yeah.
The one that fans, they love her a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who? Is that Sophie Ndaba?
No. You are Jesus.
Gareth, no.
Papa G.
No.
Hi-ho. You want us to get arrested, Papa G. Don't start the drama, Pele. Hey. We are so scared to talk about that name these days.
Why? What's the story?
Guys.
Is she married to a gangster?
No, she's not well, actually. We have to pray for her to be well until we're going to talk about her name.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So she's in a people bad thought way. She was dead.
Yeah, people thought she was dead, and she was telling people that she's not dead. She's still alive. Oh, how can people, they can be so cruel? Oh. Because she lost a lot of weight. I think in this country, when people saw somebody lost a lot of weight, they started talking, Baba G.
They start talking. They think it's
when you become
HIV
fat,
AIDS.
People, they started talking. They say you're taking tablets. For the ARVs. Mm. When we started losing weight, they say, oh my God, you are HIV.
Dying, yeah.
And she was like, no, I'm not HIV, guys. Sugar.
Sugar.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Diabetes. Papaji.
That's a serious problem. Not AIDS, because, I mean, AIDS is obviously a serious problem, but diabetes is affecting more and more people every day. That's why so many people are overweight, that so many people have problems with their diets.
And that disease is killing a lot of people, Papaji.
Type
you know,
two.
These days, if you're HIV positive, you're not going to die. You have to take your
AZT, your ARVs, yeah.
Those things, and you'll live longer. Mm-hmm. But that one,
but
hey.
Diabetes, it'll take you out.
Mm, mm.
All right, so Nina Hasty, were you surprised to see her? Did she come running
up to you?
Oh my God,
Papa G, I was like going down by the step. I saw this white lady. She was only white. I was like,
there's no other white people, Alex, right?
Whoa, what's wrong with this white lady? What's she doing? Campaigning for what? When I saw her, I was like, oh, Nina Hasty. We started to scream to each other. We scream and we hug. You know, people, they're being so surprised to see us. They were like, oh my God. I was like, Nina, what are you doing? She was like, Mama Jane, I'm working. I was like, oh, you're working for ANC?
Hmm.
Oh.
Very, very interesting that Nina's maybe being paid by the ANC.
I think by David Makura.
Okay, Gauteng Premier.
Because, Jiggy, I saw Nina Hasty taking a lot of picture with David Makura by the mall. Mm. They're doing those campaigns. I think because they thought when they're telling celebrities that maybe you're going to go outside there and do the campaign, people, they'll be, okay, even the celebrity, they're voting for ANC, even me, I will vote for it. No. It's not like that.
I need to ask you one other thing, because you got back from the holidays, and that Polokwane Highway is just all kinds of hell. That's a dangerous highway.
I think there's ghosts there.
Okay, now this is what I wanted to ask you. Last time we spoke, you said that you think there are ghosts of dead people who haven't been sent into the next life properly, so they're hanging around, they're causing accidents.
You know, I didn't think, because in our culture, when you die, Babaji, they have to go and collect your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine if me, I'm die by N1 is still far from Zanin. They're not going to collect my spirit. That's why there's accident almost every day.
Because they're these spirits who haven't been
spirit.
Fetched.
Did you see the picture that people, they post on Instagram, Twitter, everywhere? There's this little woman who was carrying the baby. They say this woman, she's the one who caused the accident.
So it's a ghost.
A ghost, Babaji, the real one. I saw the picture. Because the picture was roaming around. People, they've been sending the picture.
On WhatsApp and...
Everywhere.
Okay.
And it was a scary picture, Babaji.
What does she look like?
She was like a short woman carrying a baby at the middle of the night.
Mm.
Just imagine if you are driving and saw that thing. The accident's going to be there.
Oh, I would have an accident if I saw a tiny little woman with a baby.
You
with
don't,
baby.
It wasn't you don't think really this a is person. A, you don't think this is a fake picture?
No, it's not a fake picture.
Why?
That's the ghost. It's a real ghost. But what I'm asking myself is, I don't think somebody can take a picture of the ghost. How can I just stand there and say, okay, I'm having that encouragement?
It's probably fake.
Yeah, because you can't
but
take
still,
a picture.
Even if people believe, see, even if it's fake, but people believe it, then it'll cause accidents.
There's a ghost. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of spirits that roaming around.
Yeah. Mm. All right, Jane, thank you.
Thank you.
Thought we'd bring you in here for an update.
Sure.
All right. Jane is actually the real leader of Black Twitter.
I love the fact that this morning her lipstick matches her t-shirt, which matches her watch.
Now, Jane's always well coordinated.
We think about these
very
things
well
this morning.
And now you know that the reason that there are accidents is because of the ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got pictures, but that's not a ghost. That's an actual person.
It's an actual person.
In the lights.
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe that's the one.
It's even got a shadow. Ghosts aren't supposed to have shadows.
Well, actually, good point.
That's a very good point. All right, what else is going on? Let's talk some more news.
Right. Thinking of changing diets?
Always. It's the beginning of the year. Mm. People are all trying to lose
weight.
There
are so many different diets. It's just so intimidating.
Tell me.
So there's a new diet which has been featured in medical journal The Lancet. So there's the credibility there.
All right.
It's a new planetary health diet, which apparently will change.
Planetary health?
Yes. Which will now care for lives and the planet.
So I thought your diet was about you. I thought it was, you know, you trying to sort out your eating habits. What's it got to do with the planet?
It's got to do with what resources are available at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to do with the fact that eating red meat is a problem for the environment.
Oh, right. So it's one of those. So it's a planet conscious.
Yes.
Diet.
And what's
planetary diet could be you actually eating part of the planet.
Well, you
Which
are. You are actually.
You are. Yeah, all right.
So in their wheel of foods, their food pyramid, but it's a wheel. This
a
one.
Wheel of food.
Wheel of food. Ooh, wheel of foods.
Okay.
If you spin the wheel, you are very unlikely to land on beef, lamb, and pork protein. That's just 14 grams a day. 30 calories a day.
Okay.
You are most likely to land on vegetables. So it's making a lot of sense to me right now. I was surprised to see that the next biggest thing to vegetables was dairy, because I know that can create some problems for the planet.
Well, cheese, milk, people like this kind of thing.
Farting cows.
It forms an important part of the diet of various groups around the world. It's where a lot of people get their protein.
Mm.
Sure.
Whole grains are next, and then fruits, which I quite surprised by, because usually it's like your five a day of vegetables and fruits and then carbs after that.
Yeah.
Poultry, eggs, seafood, and plant protein. That's, next on the list. And then tiny bits of added fats, the good fats. Starchy vegetables and added sugars like sweeties and things. But really the last on the list is beef, lamb, and pork protein. So it's pushing dairy, vegetables, whole grains, fruits, poultry, eggs, seafood.
Okay. Well, listen, who knows?
Makes sense to me.
It's just another diet, but it sounds like it's got the same ingredients. And there's no cure-all here. I don't know. I've really tried. What I've been doing in the last couple of weeks is this brown rice thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for lunch, because I don't really usually have breakfast at all, but for lunch I'll have rice and maybe some salad, maybe some avo, and that's it.
Where's your protein in there?
There isn't any.
Okay.
So I'm trying this, and I suppose it's worked for me in terms of maintaining my weight. I haven't lost, I haven't gained.
It's lots of good fiber there.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's a diet, but it's certainly something I like doing for lunch.
Mm.
That's about as disciplined as I get. Do you do anything special?
I do. I've got good routines. Like, I like my herb tea and green tea, and I brewed myself in a proper little jug thingy. I don't have sugar or milk or anything like that. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink cold drinks, really. Very rarely I do. I drink water and wine.
Yeah, you mustn't drink cold drinks. That's like a dead no-no.
Yeah, every now and then if I need a pick-me-up or whatever, then I will. But I like to juice things. Uh-huh. I love celery and cucumber juice.
I bought one of those juicing machines a while ago, and I had big, bold ambitions. I was going to do this juice thing every day, and it would replace one of my meals. And I tried it, and for about 3 or 4 days in a row, I was really on top of things. I was buying the ingredients. But eventually, you're like, I need to buy fresh stuff every day?
Yeah. No. It's a lot.
It's never going to work.
The juicer that I've got, I had a juicer before that seemed to produce a lot of waste that I had to throw out.
Mm-hmm.
I found a better juicer, which produces a quarter of that in waste. So I don't feel so bad anymore.
What do you mean waste?
Well, the stuff that you end up throwing in the bin. So the dried cucumber and the dried celery bits.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you don't
but
want
I mean,
those.
The whole thing is you are omitting a lot of fiber by juicing something up.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, it's one of the best ways for me to get like my 5 a day in.
Yeah, so you need to do 5 meals a day. That's what they say in order
five
to get your
portions.
Metabolism going up. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I'm not an expert in this. I'm just going to do what I'm told. So if you have advice for me and you want to advise me in what to do, then go ahead. I'll listen to you. Mm. I'll be a good student. There's this kid who's 4 years old. Listen to how well he plays the drums. Just listen to this. 4-year-old little kid. What a drummer. At 4 years old, I think I was still wetting the bed.
That's all you were doing.
I was doing nothing. I was doing nothing useful or productive or interesting.
No,
I was wetting the bed,
amazing.
Basically. 4 years old, this kid is playing the drums like this.
It's
gotta be kidding.
Unbelievable.
Me. Isn't that great?
Sure. It just makes me feel like a little bit of a failure.
that's my problem too.
Yeah.
All right. This is always something that makes me laugh because it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. If it had to happen to me, I think I'd be very, very embarrassed. If it had to happen to someone I knew, I'd probably be embarrassed for them too. But a man publicly confronted his cheating partner at Melbourne Airport.
Yeah. So we don't know his story.
The partner or this one? Or the guy who confronted
him? We don't know his story because somebody saw him at the airport and took the photograph of him standing there with a sign.
Oh, God. Okay, so he's waiting for his partner to arrive on a plane, obviously.
Yes.
And he's got one of those, you know, the people where they hold up those signs that say, Mr., you know,
Smith
or Jenkinson or whatever your name is. Here's your sign, and they hold up the sign. And then you know that that's the person who's giving you a lift. Well, this guy in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt is waiting at the airport. He's got a blackboard. It's a big board. It's probably about an A2 size. And in chalk, he's written, "I know you," underline, "cheated."
Yeah, I don't know.
"I know you cheated."
I don't know why I underlined the "you."
Oh,
sounds
my God, weird. How embarrassing.
So he's done this. Obviously, we don't know the story behind it, but if you zoom out, he's wearing a pair of Birkenstocks.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone on Twitter was retweeting this saying, "Well, it's because of your shoes."
People are so horrible.
Oh my gosh. So
people
yeah.
are horrible.
They were like, in the Birkenstocks, relaxed AF, and then crying face. The shoes were probably why, said someone.
Oh, shame.
Then someone stood up for him and said, "The fact that so many people would cheat on him because of his sandals is also the reason that so many of y'all can't find a good man."
Mm.
Now, you see, because I'm Petty LaBelle, I kind of get this.
What, the shoes? That's not the reason. I mean, so the guy's holding up this sign. And first of all, you really are trying your luck when you do this, because it could go badly.
Mm-hmm.
You're waiting for your partner to come through the boarding gates on the other side. You're going to fetch them and take them home, and you're holding up a sign saying, "I know you cheated." Who are you holding that up for? All the other people at the airport?
Yeah, I think the intention is to make a fool of her in front of everyone. But I couldn't do it myself. I would feel like I was being made a fool of too.
I don't
want to make it public that I was cheated on.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, you guys are so emotionally mature and you have your shit together.
You would do this?
This makes sense.
You would do this?
Yes. Do you know a couple of weeks ago? Yeah, it was late last year. An Australian couple. I don't know if we discussed it on the show or not. This Australian couple was at the altar getting married, and when it was time for the wife to say her vows, she, instead of, you know, the to have and to hold till death do us part, she started reading out texts between the now going to be husband and the mistress on the side. Ah.
Yeah, we've heard stories like this, but they are a rarity.
And oh, that makes sense to me.
There's that story about the wedding where the wife said, everybody check under your seats, and she'd stuck a photograph of the husband cheating with some other woman under the seats. So you hear so these awkward stories, but in this case, I do feel kind of sorry for this dude. But at the same time, you know, couldn't you have waited? You could have got into the car together, and then you could have turned to her in the car while you're at the airport and started the car and said to her, you know what? I know what you've done. And then drive home and let her explain herself.
I think it's because people need... Being cheated on is such a sore thing. It really hurts. And you need to get payback somehow.
Yeah.
You need to have your little 2 cents.
Mm-hmm. Very, very dangerous.
Just also a few weeks ago, I saw on Twitter a couple were together for the boyfriend's birthday party, and was a whole party gathered, and then the girlfriend whips out this massive box for the boyfriend saying, happy birthday, my love, thank you so much for everything. Mm-hmm. Guy opens up the box, it's all of his belongings all packed in the box already, and she says, I already know what you did this, you did that, you did that, and this is your box to leave. I'm like, oh, shucks.
Well, first of all, you put all his stuff in one box. It's going to be easy to say goodbye to him. He hasn't got a lot of stuff.
Sure.
But guys, when you are pissed, have you never been that angry and annoyed?
Never. Not once.
I'm talking to the wrong crowd then.
Oh, I have. I've even had to pack up for the person that I've busted cheating.
Oof. Must be hard.
Yeah, and I think it's about the type of cheating and how you find out. That all just adds
how long it's
to,
been going on.
Yeah, it just adds to how annoyed you are and how you respond. After that, on a decent car ride home, horrible, and then say, oh, thank you so much. Okay, well, I know what you've done, and let's just
No. Mm-hmm. By no means am I saying, like, everybody should. No one's going to tell you how you should deal with this. I'm the least of all me. But the minute you involve other people, it really does get complicated. Like, the two of you have got to figure that out first. And you're going to be angry, and they're going to be angry, and something's going to go ugly at some point. But
and there are some relationships that together can survive cheating.
There are. I know people who've stood by their man or their woman.
Mm. More power to them, if that's what you want.
Sure.
But don't sign me up for that one.
I can't. I've been cheated on so many times that I actually, and I've done the cheating too, but I actually won't tolerate it anymore. I just can't.
Yikes.
Good for you. Stand up for yourself. You won't put up with that shit anymore. Just say it again. You've been cheated on so many times. Just say it again.
I've been cheated on so many times.
And you've done the cheating.
And I've done the cheating too. But not anymore.
You've changed your ways.
I'm now standing up for myself. No more cheating.
Have you ever found one of your partners in the act?
Oh, that must have been complicated.
No.
I've been in the situation where we were in the act.
Yeah.
And he was looking at his phone.
Oh, Jesus.
And SMSing someone else. And they were replying with topless photographs.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
While you two were busy?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
I saw it in a mirror behind me.
Leanne, I think I say this at least once a week when you're here, but you have lived. you have done things. You have seen things. This is a lot.
In a mirror behind you, were you craning backwards?
No, I saw it in the mirror that was to my right, but behind.
Oh, okay.
And I could see his arms behind me and holding his phone. Grab the phone. Because I knew what was up. And it was the girl that I thought it was, and she was sending topless photographs.
Did
she have quite nice tits?
She's got very nice tits, but a face like a horse.
Oh.
At least I'm remotely pretty.
Oh, okay. I got to tell you, I don't like cheating. I've never liked cheating. I don't find it funny. I don't find it cool. I don't think that you should ever get away with it. But here's the big but. I think if you're a strong person, you should be able to own up to it. You should be able to say to your partner or whoever it is, listen, I've met someone else. This is how I feel. And give them the chance to break up with you. Give them the chance to make the decision with you. Or you make the decision for them and say to them, listen, I know this is going to come like a bolt out of the blue. Or maybe you've been expecting this, but this is how it is. I'm not going to lie. Why do you want to keep someone as your fallback when you're cheating is just so disrespectful? I don't believe people should do that.
You know, in this situation, the girl was married and there was no real opportunity for them to have a relationship.
Yeah. So then they shouldn't have a relationship.
This person I was with wanted the best of both worlds.
Both worlds. You see, I think that's very selfish. Anonymous, go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
So me and my ex-wife worked together at the same company a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew something was up, and I eventually, the one night, stayed late, and I hacked her Facebook, and I saw that her and this other guy had already planned a holiday in Zanzibar together.
Mm.
And, you know, the discussion about when I'm going to get served my papers for the divorce and whatnot. So what I did was I actually printed out the conversation with his photo in the background, went back home, took the wedding ring, put it on top of his face and just stabbed a big knife in it and left it there. The next day, the papers that I got served first was an interdict against them. So that I couldn't come near him.
Restraining order.
A restraining order almost.
Restraining order. That's right. Restraining order. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that. And then the other thing that I did was she left her wedding ring when they eventually went on this holiday. She left it at home. But then I found one of those clips in the cupboard that, you know, when you go for a wax, I don't know what it's called, a Brazilian or whatever, and the cost was 250 Rand for this wax.
Mm-hmm.
So I took her wedding ring, I sold it at Cash Crusaders for 250 Rand, and I just stapled the two receipts together, and I left it on her cupboard. So when she returned, she asked me for, you know, where it was. I said, well, just go and have a look at the cupboard where you know, you normally leave it, and she found the slip. But she was livid. Anyway.
You spiteful bastard.
Yes, I am here for a living legend.
Look, I mean, it was all good fun. I can laugh about it now. She also had a boob job, and which I paid for, by the way. And when we got divorced, I said to her, look, I mean, I don't know what it's called in English, but in Afrikaans, it's buitengemeenskap kan goed rim, maar met die aanwas verdeel.
Yes.
Which means that
out of community of property,
together,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I basically then, in my letter to her, I said, look, I want one boob back. Because one boob belongs to me. Anyway.
Yes.
God, guys.
Wow.
I am here for a living legend. Where is the public holiday?
Sia loves a little bit of resentful bitterness at the end of a relationship. Sia loves that.
Where is the public holiday in his honor? That is legendary stuff.
You like that, huh? You like that viciousness.
Mm.
So I know this.
I want one boob, not even both.
I know this guy who... He was cheating on... He's not married to either of these women, but he had the one girlfriend, and then he had another one. And he was struggling. He was working really hard to keep them from each other. Nobody knew. Okay, nobody. I didn't know. The two girls didn't know. None of his friends knew. Right.
So he never
He managed to.
He never showed you one girlfriend.
No.
Okay.
And I mean, he's on social media and stuff, but he's very careful about what photos he's in. Blah blah blah. I always thought that was a bit suspicious, to be perfectly honest. He's not a very good friend of mine. But the point is, he had this one woman, and he had another woman, and he was living this full life with both of them. I mean, it must have been very, very stressful for him, because the one woman had a kid and the other one didn't, and he was going on holiday with this one, then he would go on holiday with the other one, but nobody knew. And he does okay money wise so I suppose, you know, that wasn't an issue at least. So somehow the two girls found out about each other.
Ooh.
And they met behind his back. Shared the stories and figured out exactly what had been going down. And then they individually confronted him about it. And he couldn't bullshit because they'd spoken to each other.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? And I don't know how it ended, but I think obviously he's, you know, the both of the girls dumped him at some point. And now he doesn't have either of them. But isn't that exciting?
Absolutely.
Isn't that exciting? That's a soap opera, right? When they got together, this was for real. This is like a real thing. Actually happened.
That makes sense to me.
I marvel at people who are able to do this.
I'm trying to justify here, actually, and I know it might not make sense to you at this point, but I think of it along the lines of, I'm a very emotional person.
Yeah.
And when I'm invested in you, I'm on 100% into my emotions. Mm-hmm. Like already for me, after the third date, I've already thought about where we're going to retire. Like that's how invested emotionally I am.
Wow. Okay.
And
you're
so
not psycho at all.
No, totally normal. So if you play around with my emotions like that, oh no, then I have to go to the other side of the scale. There's no middle ground. There's no reasoning. And that's why still I don't understand being friends with your exes either. It's not a thing for me. So I loved you a lot, and I'm just going to hate you a lot. It's the circle of life.
But if you, this is my whole point with cheating, is it's such hard work. You've got to lie. You've got to remember two versions of the truth.
Mm.
You've got to hide and cover up stuff.
But for some people, that's the thrill.
Yeah, but I understand. But when you get caught, it's not worth it.
No.
You ruin lives. You ruin your life. You cause unbelievable harm to other people. And to yourself very often. It's just such a mess. You don't need it. If you're honest, you only have to remember one version of events.
And I respect...
Or be single. Be single, yeah. Date a whole bunch of people. Say to them all, this is a non-exclusive situation. I'm having fun.
I totally respect someone who rather says, let's end this.
Yeah.
I don't feel the same way that I do.
Never happens. Hardly ever.
And even if you say, oh no, but we're all animals and we have this sexual need and desire, rather than don't be in a committed monogamous relationship. But the cheating, the act of cheating, the betrayal, the hurt, the you clearly don't respect me enough. That's what cheating says to me. So that is why I'll ask for not just both boobs. I'm just going to ask for one.
Very vicious.
Ask for, you know, that all makes sense to me.
Here's a tip from somebody who's listening to us now on the messages this morning. For anybody who's been affected by cheating, if in doubt, kick it out.
Yeah.
That's their line. Someone says amen to that caller. Yeah. And then someone here, Matthew, says, I do this diet every January and I lose 7 to 9 kilograms in 13 days. Wow. Matthew, I'm going to take a look at this diet.
Oh.
I did ask. It's a 13-day high protein diet that works for all body types. And then he's actually put a screenshot. You can go and follow him on Twitter, @Matthew_Harding. Okay.
Mm.
Oh.
He reckons he can lose 7 to 13 kilograms. That's very impressive.
This doesn't seem all too appetizing, though.
Read it.
The likes of coffee with no sugar for breakfast on the first day. That's all you have, just liquid coffee. Boiled eggs for lunch with cooked spinach.
Mm, I like that.
And then grilled steak for supper.
How are you?
I feel like you'd be so hungry. But coffee again on the second day. Yeah, it's just a lot of coffee, low GI bread, the likes of fish and raw tomato, boiled eggs. Oh, no, sorry. I'd be too hungry.
Okay.
Never mind. Sign me. Don't sign me up for that one. I'd be too hungry. But okay, if it works for you, then I guess. Just before we wrap the show up, and I guess for Monday morning, maybe you might need to bring this up at work. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we hear similar stories like this every so often. But there's now a new lawmaker group in New York City who's pushing for this again. It's a law to make it illegal for your employers to contact you after work hours. They're even wanting to go as far as saying that it should be illegal for employers to be expected to check work emails out of the office as well. And I say we see similar cases because back in 2017, France passed a similar law, and also VW globally actually shuts down their email servers at night. So even if you have intentions on working, you won't be able to access your emails.
Wow. Mm. Okay, I've always thought that it's really up to you, though, whether you pay attention to this stuff or not, because you don't have to respond to everything. And over a weekend, I don't respond to emails unless I feel like it. If I feel like it, sure, I'll do it. But don't send me emails over the weekend. And I don't have email on my phone, so I'm not going to be receiving that stuff on the go. Oof.
I like to have the choice of when I want to do things. So if I haven't been able to do something during the week because of, I don't know, something that's come up, I might quite like sitting working late on a Friday night.
Yeah, quietly.
Yeah. Feel like you're more
productive. Quietly, where you can send an email and there's not going to be a response immediately. But at least you've put the ball in their court.
So this group in particular is quite serious with this. They've gone on, they filed it, and this is how they define this proposed bill. They say if the law's passed, workers who get contacted after working hours have the right to then complain to the city, the Department of Consumer Affairs, and that department is at liberty to now initiate an investigation. And if the boss who contacts you is found legal, they'd have to pay a fine of up to $500 to the employee.
Jeez.
Wow.
I kind of like the idea of getting money back. So
I'm not someone complain. Disturbing your PR. I think that's taking it too far. You have the choice as the employee to just ignore it or to respond.
Yeah.
So stop making it seem like you're being your space is being invaded, your weekend's being ruined.
I suppose if you were expected to respond, if you know.
Yeah, there are people who always feel they feel huge pressure to respond. I'm one of those people, so I'll usually reply straight away. But I'm able to turn that off, as any grown adult should. You're able to say, no, I'll deal with this on Monday morning. That's all you have to do. I do love the Gambia with their 4-day work week, though. I still think that that's something worth looking at. I think it would be terrific. People would be far more relaxed. You'd probably get more done. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you work. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're off. 3 days a weekend instead of 2, 4 days of work. But you've got to actually put in as much work as you would have in 5 days.
Yeah.
I would do it.
Yeah, me
I'm
too.
I'm all about efficiency.
Get it over and done with.
I've realized like in my week, I can get, if I condense it, the amount of actual productive time is much too little. So I feel like a lot of it's wasted time going to and from meetings, sitting, filling those empty spaces between meetings with emails and stuff. I think you could be far more productive if you were concentrating your time. If you said, Monday's meeting day, Tuesday I'm going to do admin, Wednesday I'm going to, try and find new clients, Thursday I'm going to do this, and you focus solely on those things. I mean, there are lots of books that have been written about this. And not least of which is Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Work Week. He says you can do everything you need in 4 hours.
Wow.
4 hours a day?
No. 4 hours in the week, but super efficiently. That. I have those days where I'll do 23 things in one day, and I'll be productive as hell. And then for the next 3 days, I'm useless. Useless. I can't even get a reply to an email out properly. You know how it goes. Mm. And you make bad decisions because you're frustrated and things aren't moving fast enough. I think there's a lot of merit in that. We've got to find a way of using our time more effectively. I know people, I was talking to someone just the other day who said what she likes to do is to sit at home if she's in the mood and she's in a creative space and she does a bunch of work. She says, I'm not coming into work today. And her employer understands. She gets it all done. She gets more than that done. And then when she does come to work, they go, wow, that stuff you sent was great. And she goes, yep. So let me have the day off.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm going on holiday. It's not because I'm doing nothing. It's because I work better at home.
Yeah. There are a lot of companies now that straight from the outset where they when they're advertising for a job or for an employee who say you are welcome to stay at home and get your work done, then come into the office once or twice a week.
Wow.
Don't see why not.
Let me talk to my employer. Hi, Gareth. How are you?
No, I'm not entertaining this shit from you. I'm not interested.
This is what I feel is the common thread, though, in this law that they want to get passed and in this case as well. I think it's about boundaries, because at the end of the day, what's the worst that could happen? Like, unless you are doing life-saving work in a hospital or whatever the case is, not answering an email after hours is not going to be the end of the world. And, you know, I often marvel when you speak to people on the show here, Gareth, and you ask them about their lives and what an average day for them is like, and they get to actually explain how they live. And there's such merit to that. People who consciously say, I don't wake up until this point because I know I'm not going to be my best. And I don't leave that house mm-hmm. before or after traffic because that's going
to be.
Well,
it's nice if you can do that. Yeah. I know, but a lot of people don't have that flexibility at all.
True.
And a lot of people aren't disciplined.
But boundaries are still, boundaries and discipline, I think, are the top two.
I don't think a lot of people are disciplined enough to actually do what they say they're going to do. They'll say, oh, well, you know, I feel like waking up late this morning because I'm feeling a bit tired. I didn't get enough sleep last night and I'm not going to be productive at work today. But the real reason is because they're undisciplined.
Mm.
And given freedom, they'll abuse it. They won't actually do good with it. They won't be more efficient. They'll be less efficient. They'll be lazier. Lots of people like that.
But remember Melinda Bam's interview?
Yeah, what did she say again?
She kind of made it cool in my eyes. No, she doesn't leave the house to get stuck in traffic, so she just sits in the morning, gets herself ready, nice and gorgeous. She weighs up meeting opportunities because her time is valuable. And she'll only do about like 3 meetings in a day.
Hmm.
And she'll make sure that she's home before traffic starts again. I thought, wow, what a beautiful life. Yeah. And then she goes, you know, to Europe every couple of months.
Yeah, I'll bet you she also gets a bit stressed occasionally and gets her schedule a bit messed up. All of us do.
Don't ruin the fantasy.
Everybody's busy. No, it's time to mess around.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't tell me you sit at home very calm, have a cup of tea every morning. Yeah. If I leave now, there might be too much traffic.
Yes.
But I've got a 9 o'clock. Oh, well.
I'll wake up with an F for math. Okay, let's go.
That's last thing you. Nobody wants to wake up. I've never met anyone who goes, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait every day. Sure, you wake up on some days and you're like, yes, I'm excited about today.
Mm.
Rarely it happens, but it happens. And you get people who moan all the time about waking up early. But most of us are somewhere in between.
Yeah.
There's nobody, it's unhealthy, and they would be a psychopath if they woke up every morning going, hooray!
Ooh, what a beautiful morning.
I can't wait to start my day. Nobody's all the time doing that stuff.
Except Leanne every Monday morning.
Yeah, you do love Mondays.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, we love Mondays. Thanks for spending this Monday with us. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. We've got plenty of good stuff coming up for you the course of this week. Of course, the Nando's Burning Platform on Thursday. Ben is away. He's hanging with Gary Player, which he loves.
Mr. Gary Player.
And we've got a replay of the Stuart Rees interview. He's a talented young musician working his way into the spotlight. Find out who thought he had nothing on Idols. If writing songs is a good idea for girls, you know, writing songs for girls.
Oh, yeah.
His influences, John Mayer, Jack Johnson, among others. And see how it comes through in his songs. You can hear the interview with Stuart Rees. That's a replay coming up in a little while. Got a brand new series launching in a short while too, which I'll tell you about during the course of this week. And we will reveal on Monday next week, if you can wait that long, the winner of our Easy Equities and Money Shot Cliff Central competition for traders. So plenty of stuff to get stuck into over the next couple of days. Don't go anywhere. Enjoy your Monday. I hope it goes really, really well. We'll be here tomorrow morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.